and podcast audio is there. All right, Facebook Live podcast audio. Start up the YouTube in just a second because I be getting hit with all them copyright claims. You can't do that there, young man.
You can't do that.
I'm just trying to tell folks what the hell's going on
down
here. You can't
do that on television, William.
I don't know. That's not... there are barely even any 90s kids that didn't get that joke. That show was from like 87, 88.
Yes,
a fucking old-ass show. All right, let's bring it in. This was supposed to be a regular Monday thing, and I failed you. All right.
Okay, you guys.
I certainly did.
Okay.
You're in the wine cellar, folks. You understand that?
Be fine. Don't worry. You ready?
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Come here. Come here and stand over here.
When Jesus was.
This is a Christian show.
Jesus was.
Jesus was. Jesus
was. Away.
You're gonna have to do better than this.
Oh, cool. I love stupid bullshit like this.
La 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 la.
It's Monday, and you are in the wine cellar.
La 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 la.
Politics is weird.
La 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 la.
Exactly, nigga.
Person I've ever seen.
Those are the facts.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yes.
And YouTube going. Everybody's up and or running.
Yes.
Trigger warning supply.
Yes.
I looked at your cop thing. That's going to be it. I titled the episode, What Uniform Does the Good Cop Wear?
You know, that was the thing. I wasn't even, like, looking specifically for cop news, but the way the algorithms were hitting, I was like, oh, another cop story.
Mm.
Oh, another cop story.
All right, well, that's what the hell we're doing, all right? Huh.
Huh, what?
What is wrong? It said Cyberlink could not capture content.
Uh-oh.
I deleted all them damn YouTube. Come on. Okay, Cyberlink is just fucking garbage.
Hmm.
All right, well, it looks like this episode is Facebook Live and podcast only.
Okay.
Yep, though I probably should. You have your good cop story queued up?
I can get it queued up.
Yeah,
tweeting the link.
Yeah, you'll want to get to it while I do some engineering.
Okay. This is the joy of doing a live podcast, people. You never know what's going to happen. did you have them in any particular order that you wanted to do
no,
them in?
No, I don't know.
Excellent. All right. So let's start with... Let's start with Honolulu. Why the fuck not? And this is also like, in my head, I think, the title of this story, two Honolulu police officers indicted for allegedly forcing homeless man to lick urinal. I think that's also in my head because I think we covered it on the show that that cop who put dog feces in between two pieces of bread and gave it to a homeless man to try to get the homeless guy to eat a shit sandwich got his job back. So I was like, ah, great.
I only remember it because of the got job back part.
Yeah. So yeah, you know, good cops, all that. So the U.S. Department of Justice. Damn. All right. So apparently this is a federal case. The U.S. Department of Justice announced that two Honolulu Police Department officers were arrested Tuesday pursuant to a federal indictment charging them with two counts of civil rights violations. So, the Honolulu Police Department officers were arrested by federal authorities for allegedly forcing a homeless man to lick a public urinal. Jesus fucking Christ, that's disgusting. Sadism. Just, like, I don't...
Say the word. Say they're sadist. It seems like a weird word to say. Seems hyperbolic. Fucking look up the definition and you'll feel more comfortable saying it.
Yeah. So officers John Rabago and Reginald Ramones have been charged with one count of conspiring.
You wanted to say conspiracy.
I did want to say conspiracy. Conspiracy, piracy, you know, all that.
Yeah.
One count of conspiring to deprive a person of his civil rights, and another count of acting under color of law to deprive the same individual of his rights, according to the U.S. Department of Justice. On January 28, 2018, according to the indictment, John Rabago and Reginald Ramones deprived the man of his constitutional right to be free from unreasonable seizure by a law enforcement official. According to initial reports after the incident, four HPD officers were being investigated for forcing a man to place his mouth on a urinal at a public restroom. Oh, God, that's disgusting. On a Sunday afternoon in the Kiamoku area. The officers had been responding to a trespass complaint reported to 911. So which one of you fuckers called the cops in the first place?
Another sadist.
Mm-hmm. This shit wouldn't have happened if you wouldn't have called fucking 911 over this bullshit.
The piss wouldn't have happened if you wouldn't have called 911 with this bullshit.
So they were responding to a trespass complaint when they came into contact with the victim. One officer later reported the alleged misconduct, leading to an internal investigation. They do love investigations.
Investigation.
A week later, HPD Chief Susan Ballard referred the case to the FBI and said, our officers are sworn to uphold the rights of all persons, and I expect every officer to treat every member of the public fairly and with respect. Personally, I'm appalled at the behavior, and if it is true, appropriate action will be taken. Like, of course it's fucking true. They're cops. The conspiracy charge carries a maximum term of 10 years imprisonment and a maximum fine of $250,000, according to federal authorities, while the deprivation of rights charge carries a maximum term of 1 year imprisonment and a maximum fine of $100,000. So technically, they could get 11 years in prison. I mean, I'm sure they won't, but they could, right?
No. They're going to get probation.
Probation.
Yeah, if you follow up on it, I guarantee you that's what's going to happen.
Ugh.
Same story.
Hmm?
Same story?
Yeah.
All right, because I'm going to mix it up. We're going to get into some Republican shit.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Yeah. So the FBI's Honolulu division is investigating the case, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office. Attorney Timothy Visser of the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division and U.S. Attorney for the District of Hawaii, Thomas Brady, are the individuals prosecuting this case, officials say.
Officials say and investigations.
Yes.
These words have left thine faces so many fucking times.
They're investigating again. Yeah.
All right. So that that little colored gal from out there in New York that thinks she better than everybody else, calling herself a democratized socializer. Alexandria Ocasio, not American. She's just a pita bread Mexican.
Yeah.
We all know it's true.
Puerto Ricans are not Americans. That's true.
Yeah, they're from one of... They're like the fourth country in Mexico.
Oh, like the sixth, actually.
Huh.
Although technically, shouldn't we be the first country in Mexico because they were in Puerto Rico before they were in Mexico?
Yeah, but you see, but Puerto Ricans, they like being famous in a very military fashion, kind of Star Wars. So they're not the sixth one, they're the Sith one. See, a lot of people don't know that I make these references, you see? I'm kind of a Star Wars guy myself. Star Wars, Star Trek, Deep Space, all that shit, man.
Yeah, he doesn't watch any of that shit. He's never seen a fucking... Really?
Then how did I just make the reference?
Because you listen to rap music and niggas is nerds.
Wrong, wrong, wrong. Only niggas that watch anime and declare themselves blurs are nerds. Even though they're not... You weren't actually a nerd, though. You were just a pompous, unlikable ass face.
Yeah, probably. well, okay. So, Star Wars trivia. Who are the Sith?
The Sith?
Yeah, since you mentioned them.
They're the fucking haters. Blam! Yeah, nigga. Didn't know about that.
Who's haters?
Who's haters?
Yeah, who are they hating on?
Fucking Handyman Solo.
Handyman Solo.
Hating.
Wow.
Hating. That nigga shows up with a toolbox, all sorts of socket wrenches and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh my god, we weren't ready. That's what they said. Yep. Kind of a Star Wars guy. I think they'd call me a Star Wars buff in some circles. These are the facts.
Nobody believes you, by the way.
Let's go to a buck dancing coon boy.
Oh, great.
All right. I believe his name is Charles Payne, and he'd be going on the Fox News.
Oh, God.
All right.
With Donna Brazile?
Oh, Jesus. That's right. Donna Brazile. That is just fucking, that is black Hillary. Like, that level of apathy and careerism. All right. So, remember, McCosky and Cortez, pita bread Mexican. Got on the Twitter and bashed capitalism that gave her job. You're welcome very much.
Yeah, the market and provided.
She got on the Twitter and said, and LaGuardia is an airport, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And she typed up, croissants at LaGuardia are going for $7 a piece. Yet some people think getting a whole hour of personal dedicated human labor for $15 is too expensive. You know how much shit you can do in an hour?
Yeah.
And they're saying...
You can make a croissant.
Nah, it's only worth $7 for croissants. The whole... So everything that you did for that hour is only worth 25 cents more than that croissant. And if you talk to Walter Block...
Yeah, but that's the $7 is before tax, so...
Ooh.
Basically, you made a croissant. You earned a croissant.
No, you didn't. Especially if you live, like, in Illinois where you have a state tax. Yeah, no, nigga, you made, like, 505. Nigga, I be looking at my checks now, nigga, because, I meant for the 12 years of my adulthood, I lived in Florida, right? I grew up in Washington State, became an adult, moved to Florida. Lived there 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know about this whole state tax thing, because that's a libertarian wasteland. I moved to Illinois, they're like, nigga, you gonna need to come up off them grits. And I'm like, can you fix a pothole with it? They're like, we can patch it. We got some Elmer's glue and sand. All right, so she went on the Twitter and typed that. And the folks down at Fox News, they said, huh, we can make this a segment. Go get our coon boy. And so he showed up, and he actually, like, kind of stereotypically looks like a coon. Like, I wouldn't trust Cuz if I didn't know him or seen him for the first time.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right, let's dig into it.
Ocasio Cortez facing backlash in some corners for comparing airport croissants prices to the fight for a higher minimum wage.
The Democratic congresswoman from New York tweeting on Monday, croissants at LaGuardia are going for...
Really? She said croissants.
He also said Democratic congressman as well.
Well.
You know, and you gotta... It's like a blend between misgendering and just colloquialism.
$7 a piece.
Misgendering? Oh, they're gunning with that?
I think they are.
Say word. All right, I can schmiggy dig it. All right, let's get in here.
wage.
The Democratic congresswoman from New York tweeting on Monday, croissants at LaGuardia are going for $7 a piece. Yet some people think getting a whole hour of personal, dedicated human labor for $15 is too expensive.
Well, this morning, a New York Post op-ed firing back, arguing your wage is no kind of measure of human worth. Charles Payne is the host of Making Money with Charles Payne.
Wait, and Fox. They gave someone a whole op-ed for this?
Yeah. What? Okay. That was a really big, important tweet. That was a policy tweet.
Okay.
Business Network, and he joins us now to weigh in on this. What doesn't she get, Charles?
Well, it was a clumsy attempt, right? To just, I mean, she's grappling all the time.
I like clumsy attempt. Wait, like she didn't mean what she said?
I don't like this person.
Oh, you don't like this Charles Payne nigga?
No.
He's a fucking asshole, right?
Just his posture, everything. His fucking hand gestures, that fucking suit, those fucking glasses, fucking shoes. Like, no. What is this?
Right, like, the type of nigga, he buys tight suit pants and claims they're tailored.
Like, I don't know anything about this person, but watching them talk for 3 seconds, I'm out.
Yeah. You want to hear some more Charles Payne? Oh, man. Like, how do you think he responds when he approaches a woman and she turns him down? Well, this clearly just shows that you have an inferior intellectual capacity. It's a clumsy attempt. Okay.
On the Fox Business Network, and he joins us now to weigh in on this. What doesn't she get, Charles?
Well, it was a clumsy attempt, right, to just, I mean, she's grappling all the time. The proponents of these minimum wage or higher minimum wage need to understand a few things. And there's another follow-up tweet, just so people understand when I set this up properly. When people responded to her, she always gets rankled.
I like how he said, set this up properly. The segment's already happening. It was set up when Duke read the tweet. That was the setup. You get so much more money than we do to do this. Why do we know the job better? He's gonna set this up properly. Mm-hmm. All right, set this up, coon pain. Well, you run across me, you're gonna be a coon in pain.
Mm. So she tweeted out again at the GOP. Always replies to her, and she says, "I guess the idea is foreign to them since their policies treat people as disposable." Well, think about.
Yeah. See, now again, apparently she didn't know what she was saying. She's clumsy. It was a clumsy attempt. That's how he set this up.
Mm-hmm. The policies treat people as disposable. Well, think about a standard minimum wage. First of all, when you raise the minimum wage, the business has to raise the price of the products. Guess who gets hurt the most there? Poor households.
See, that's not shit. No, they fucking don't. They could pay their CEOs less. That's an option.
You know, going by that logic... Because people get raises when they get promoted.
Yeah.
People get bonuses. And people get annual raises. Mm-hmm. So why aren't the prices just always constantly going up every fucking day?
Also, though, it's interesting to me that they're going to argue that if you give someone a raise, that prices have to go up. But then they don't talk about how minimum wage hasn't gone up for 10 years, but price, the cost of living has. So what the fuck happened there?
Oh, the homeowners, the landlords, they got a raise. Uh-huh. And you see what happened? Hey. Now the price of the rent went up.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Mm-hmm.
Let that be a lesson to you.
Okay.
All right? I'm telling you, man, I got a...
You know who he reminds me of is that, that fucking libertarian professor guy, the...
Walter Block?
Was that his name? Is $2 better than no dollars?
Yes. Walter fucking Block, man. Fucker. That's some classic shit with that guy. All right, let's do this.
To raise the price of the products, guess who gets hurt the most there? Poor households. Most poorer households that I know...
are making minimum wage, and that's why they're poor in the first place.
Check how he's saying, most poor households that I know.
Nigga.
You saying he doesn't know a lot of poor households?
He doesn't know any poor households.
He was there when Nipsey got shot.
No, he wasn't.
He was right there. He was on Crenshaw.
Is that why his suit is blue?
Yes. He's trying to show you how much his life matters.
Cops, you mean? Because he don't mean those boys in blue.
hurt the most there? Poor households. Most poorer households that I know have more than one person working on minimum wage. So I'd rather have two people making $13 an hour instead of one making $15 an hour.
But you don't even want to raise the minimum wage to $13.
Hold up. Hold the fuck up.
What up?
First of all, minimum wage isn't $13 an hour.
Yeah, it is.
It's not. Second of all, two people making $13 an hour still make more than one person making $15 an hour. Why did the second person quit working when minimum wage went up?
What? Don't you see, like, he took his glasses off and put them back on. Clearly he knows what he's talking about.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't.
He did the booty back and spine forward sit down posture.
He did.
Yeah, he did the booty back, nigga. It has a name now. All right.
Because that's the realistic consequences.
Sure.
Another thing, from a business point of view, if I'm a business person, right, I want to be able to reward the great workers.
He's not even a business owner?
He's the host of Fox Business. He doesn't have to be a business owner.
He said, if I was a business person. So you're not even a business person and you have opinions about minimum wage in business?
Is he not the host of Fox Business?
What business?
The Fox Business. Apparently he's in business? The hen house lately.
I was about to be like, is the hen house involved? The cat house? What's happening?
This shit is fun, man. I'll tell you that right now.
He came, Otis. Your words made him come.
All right, these are the facts. Yeah, I got some fun stuff on the soundboard, buddy. Hey, you know, that's just the breakdown reality of it. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what's funny is, you know how he got hired?
Hmm.
Like, cause he does buck dancing, obviously.
Obviously.
But they noticed he did a little different, and they were like,
"You got some great moves, Todd. You dance like a white man, and I love it."
That's like,
fit like a white man.
All right, here we go.
In this sense, you reward bad workers and you punish good workers.
Unless you get
what?
Wait, what? Why would a business owner keep bad workers?
Why would a business owner reward bad workers?
What he's saying is they don't want to reward bad. They don't want the government forcing them to reward bad workers that they choose to keep at their business.
But how does that hurt good workers? Because even if for whatever reason you keep the bad workers there, you can still give the good workers another raise.
But then good workers are not incentivized anymore. Because they're like, well, hell, we're just going to make the same amount no matter how I work. See?
So the problem is that the business owner is keeping bad workers or not paying them enough to give a fuck about what they're doing?
And that's also why the business is still in business, because all the workers are so bad.
Mm-hmm.
I like sarcasm. All right, let's give it a running start.
In this sense, you reward bad workers and you punish good workers.
Unless you give them a raise and that cuts into your...
Yes.
I keep seeing, because the camera is like behind... And I can feel myself making faces, but then I see them like 3 seconds later, and I'm like, I should be looking at you like with the meanest side eye. Like, what the fuck is this nigga talking about?
It's what? You're having a good time. We wore our black shirts and took pictures.
We did.
All right, let's check it out. I hate the video player on this website.
In this sense, you reward bad workers and you punish good workers.
Unless you give them a raise and that cuts into your margin.
But that gets back to raising the prices, though, right? Mm-hmm. So the bottom line is, if you want to talk about people being disposable, her idea of her standard minimum wage snuffs out the ambitions of the person at this company who could...
Wait, so he's inadvertently arguing that she's right. They are disposable.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You've been outsmarted by someone whose brain just finished developing 3 years ago.
Excel? Why would I excel if the person who's not working hard gets the same pay that I get?
But if you start at minimum wage, you're already doing that now. It's already happening.
And as a blue-collar worker, like, one thing I know is, if I don't get the big raise, if I excel... and do a kick-ass fucking job, mm-hmm. especially like what I do, like I produce, like I work in a basically, I work in the epitome of supply side economics in that factory. And if I get in and I kick motherfucking ass the first 2 hours, the last 6 hours of the shift, I'm just kind of walking around on Facebook. Like, literally, I'm just literally watching the machines do what I want them to do. And it's fucking awesome.
But what this argument always misses, though, is, yeah, you can be like, well, if everyone's getting paid the same amount, then no one has an incentive to try. But if you reward people for doing a good job, more people will do a good job. People like bonuses. People like raises. People like perks.
Right, we got the bonus last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, the actual question isn't, why aren't, all the workers working hard enough? The question is, why are you not giving them incentives?
I like that you stopped it. Oh, I thought you stopped just because you saw me checking decibels.
No. But I mean, like, that's the actual thing, though. It's like, so you want to talk about, we want everyone to have a good work ethic and take the job seriously. Well, are you paying them enough to fucking care about the job? If they're just going to have to leave and go to a second job or have to go stop home and buy some fucking, you know, bullshit off the McDonald's value meal or buy ramen because they can't afford groceries, why should they be excited about having to go to work in the morning? You know? Especially when you work for a major corporation and the fucking CEO's a goddamn millionaire and you can't fucking afford, you know, groceries.
Why would they be excited? They'd be excited because they have the opportunity. See?
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
And yeah, again, like with me, like back to the factory, right? Like, I don't get huge raises, huge promotions. I get fucking incrementalism.
Right.
But like, again, I'm still insane because I get easier days. Like, tomorrow, I'm working with the maintenance department. I'm not working with the fucking supply side production department. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to take apart a machine and blow an air gun in it and then spray some rubbing alcohol in it and then wipe it with a towel and take, like, no shit, I'm going to take, like, an extra long break and an extra long lunch. Like, literally double on both of them.
Yeah.
And it's a fucking chill day. I'm just going to be in and out of my toolbox and hanging out with my nigga Manuel. Yeah. Talking about tools and shit. And
tools and shit.
Yeah. Just talking about tools and home shit we can buy. You know, like, I'd like a fucking pressure washer because our Sears vinyl siding, well, it's not ours, but yeah, we live here and like it's ugly. Washer.
We can rent those though, right? You can like rent one for a day.
They're actually kind of cheap.
Oh, okay.
And then you just have it. And you don't have to go back and forth. And then if you want to pressure wash something else, right? Like, turn down the power on the pressure washer. Hit the fucking car.
Yeah.
Right?
I still want a pressure canner.
Tell your mom to pack the car. Oh, but Phoenix Cleater needs a pressure canner. While she does her Betty Boop in the chair. Let's let this nigga finish the last 10 seconds of this thing on Fox News.
Ironically, if they were talking about erasing these sort of standards, letting people go in and excel on their own merit, that would actually have more potential.
There you go. See, so apparently you should stop hating on Charles Payne. You got that next good cop, don't you?
Actually, I didn't. I had a cis identity extremist.
Oh no. Oh no, we're not doing for this socialized feed.
Yes.
We're hitting those good cops, this Republican one, and a black trans woman was murdered and I haven't hit that story yet.
Alright.
Yeah.
So good cops, you say.
Yeah.
Hashtag good cops. If you're on social media, use it. It makes it easier to aggregate these stories. A good cop gets 20 years. I don't want the pop up, please. Thank you. A good cop gets 20 years for... Now, this isn't... A cop got 20 years in prison. Does anyone... You want to guess, just off the top of your head, what they did?
Okay, you telephone from your left hand. That way you're facing the camera.
20 years. Cop. What do you think they did?
Wait, he got the cop...
She.
Oh, wait, the woman got 20 years?
The female cop got 20 years.
Oh, a female cop got 20 years.
Yes.
Oh, she fucking raised her voice at a male cop.
No. I mean, but you're on the right track. It is patriarchal in nature. I mean, it's also horrific and, you know, but...
Oh, wait, never mind. I saw the headline, so it's not fair for me to guess.
Aw, sadness. All right, so, She got 20 years in prison because she was having sex with her supervisor while she left her child in a car who died because it was too hot in the car.
Shit. What's the date stamp on this?
April 3rd, 2019.
What state are they in?
Mississippi.
I guess that's closer to the equator, so it's already that hot out there.
Yeah.
Shit.
Well, also, I didn't finish it. I don't know how long the kid was in the car either.
Oh.
Yeah. So, Long Beach, Mississippi. Of course, this is also the update, though, because this is her sentence. This isn't, she just did it. This is her sentence now. So, you know. So, Long Beach, Mississippi. Leaving a child in a hot car until they die is a tragic mistake that roughly 36 parents make every year in this country. Really? Damn.
That's not that many, huh?
That's not, I honestly thought it would have been way higher. This not, I mean, you know, considering how many kids accidentally shoot themselves because people don't lock up their fucking guns.
Oh, man. That's a ratio.
The nightmarish negligence comes with a punishment no prison sentence could ever trump. Now, a former cop from Mississippi has learned her fate after she pleaded guilty to this very same horrifying blunder of leaving her 3-year-old daughter strapped into her hot patrol car until she died, as this cop had sex with her supervisor inside his home. Wait, she had her kid in her patrol car? The fuck?
It's Mississippi.
Former Long Beach police officer Cassie Barker will spend 20 years behind bars for the death of her 3-year-old daughter. Her sentence was handed down on Monday by Judge Lawrence Bourgeois. Last name is Bourgeois. Alright. Who told Barker that it was...
is he petty with his sentencing?
Well, kinda. Bourgeois told Barker that she failed in her responsibility to protect and serve as both a mother and a police officer. You let your own flesh and blood in that car while you were in an air-conditioned house to have sexual relations. Yeah, I can't see this. I'm actually not surprised she got 20 years for this. Like, considering that A, she was a bad mother, and B, a woman having sex. Yeah.
And then tie it into that sort of, it's not abortion, but it's that sort of, like, your motherhood comes first.
Right. Mm-hmm. So this actually is from September 30th, 2016. That's when the incident happened. Barker strapped her 3-year-old daughter into a car seat in the back of her patrol car and entered her supervisor's home for a midday romp. Barker knew the air conditioner did not work, but nevertheless turned on the vent and went inside. As her daughter sat strapped in her deathbed... Who the fuck wrote this? Matt Agorist. All right. It's a little...
What's the outlet?
Free Thought Project. Yeah, so it's like, this is a little,
Oh, wait, Free Thought Project. Mm-hmm. For some reason, that, it made me think of, the wrong one.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. The one that's, more progressive. The, what is it? Free Thinkers? Something like that. Patheos? I don't know.
Patheos? That's like, they usually talk about religious stuff?
Yeah.
They're like atheists?
But there's one that I know is pro-sex workers' rights. And
Reason?
Reason.com, I think, yeah.
Oh, okay. So Barker knew the air conditioner did not work, but nevertheless turned the vent and went inside. As her daughter sat strapped in her deathbed, Barker had sex with Officer Claire Ladner inside the home. After the deed... Oh, this is how it happened. After the deed was done, Barker and Ladner fell asleep.
Oh.
That's how it happened. Authorities say Cheyenne Barker's body, body temperature reached 107 degrees before she died. Holy shit.
Wait a second. But with the patrol car, right?
Yeah.
So they were on the clock this whole time?
Yeah.
Okay. Tax dollars.
Yes.
Spend them wisely.
Very much so. For this gross act of negligence, Barker was charged with second-degree murder. However, as TFTP reported last month, she pleaded guilty to a reduced charge of manslaughter in a plea deal. Prosecutors recommended a sentence of no less than 20 years, and they got it. I don't know what I could ever do to you that could be worse than what you've experienced, Bourgeois told her at the time. You will forever be entombed in a prison of your own mind. What makes the case of former police officer Cassie Barker so terrible is that she is a repeat offender. Barker had previously lost custody of Cheyenne for doing the exact same thing a year earlier. What the fuck?
Oh.
All right. According to the AP, Barker went into a store in nearby Gulfport and a concerned passerby called police. Child Protective Services took temporary custody of Cheyenne and Barker was suspended for a week without pay. But because of her blue privilege, Cheyenne's father, Ryan Heyer, was never notified and helpless to prevent the future event.
There's something about that, because I know that Free Thought Project is fucking...
Aren't they libertarians?
Yeah, they're white libertarians. Mm-hmm. So, like, I can hear the snark in them, that sort of, that tinge of anti-SJW when they say blue privilege.
Oh, yeah. But then also, they're libertarians, so they... Like, if this had just been some regular person, they wouldn't have covered this shit if she wasn't a cop.
Yeah, I don't like these niggas, man.
Yeah. Every time I close my eyes, I picture her suffering, and then I picture her laying in this coffin, Heyer said on Monday, according to the AP. I still see her smiling and laughing in my head, and I would assume that smile and laughter turned into pain and suffering in her last instance. Heyer has since filed a wrongful death lawsuit against both the Long Beach Police Department and the Mississippi Department of Child Protection Services for failing to notify him. You lose your child, I don't think there's no amount of sentencing or time that could make up for that, Heyer said. But this is how the justice system works. With what the judge had to work with, I'm happy he gave her the maximum that was allowed by law. While Barker's guilty plea landed her in jail for the next 20 years. Prison, not jail. Prison and jail are two different things. Not all cops who leave their babies in hot cars until they die get charged. Officer Mike Fanfarillo left his 4.5-month-old baby Michael in his car during the summer of 2016 for 9 hours, but Oneida County District Attorney Scott McNamara refused to press charges. According to McNamara, the officer placed Michael in the back seat to drop his elder child at daycare, though he didn't typically bring his youngest along for the ride. After returning home, Fanfarillo simply forgot the baby was in the car seat, did a few chores, and fell asleep, while Michael suffered an oppressive summer heat, eventually dying of hypothermia about 8.5 hours later. But unlike Barker, Mark Fanfarillo is still a cop.
And a man. And he was doing chores. He was a man doing chores. I thought that's what you guys liked.
Right. Yeah.
This fucking Jesus Christ, these goddamn cats.
Yes.
All right, buddy chief.
Mm-hmm.
Heading on over here. Mm-hmm. This is not a news story. I just fucking missed it.
Oh. Okay.
And this is like ongoing coverage. Mm-hmm. All right. And so I really gotta come into it basically from the brand new perspective. And oddly enough, this is coming off of the Washington Post.
Hmm.
Jeff Bezos doesn't have enough money.
Nope.
Ashanti Carmen is the individual's name. Ashanti Carmen was about 16 years old when she first went out to K Street in the nation's capital to look for sex work. Rejected by her family for her identity as a transgender woman, she was homeless and desperate. And Phoenix Kalita did, I think you did like a whole solo episode about that, right?
About
how SWERFs don't, they want to talk about like young people and sex work, but they don't want to talk like how they end up there because of economic reasons.
Right,
which is why we end up at all work.
Exactly, yeah.
right? Like, see, I went to my job because I like working on machines and burning my fingers on seal bars and handling fucking 200-degree serrated knives and getting up on janky skyjacks.
Yes.
Fun times.
Who doesn't?
But sex workers do it for money.
Right? They're fucking evil.
Greedy.
But, yeah, because that's the whole SWERF thing, though. Because they are so transphobic, they won't address the fact that transphobia leads to a lot of trans women having to go into sex work because they don't have other options. And then, of course, they won't support, like, legal protections, like, you know, where you can just fire someone for being trans. They're like, oh, that's okay. You should be able to fire someone for being trans. And it's like, but then you're mad they're doing sex work, even though you're not helping them find jobs in other areas. So, you know, yeah, fucking SWERFs are shit, man. SWERFs are bullshit.
Yeah. Now, continuing on, says, in the decade that followed, Ashanti Carmen moved from friends' couches to budget motels, finding support from a community of transgender women in Washington, D.C. She fell in love and moved in with her boyfriend and sought jobs at fast food restaurants, her friends said. She started relying less and less on sex work, knowing how dangerous the streets could be for someone like her. But last weekend, she was back on Eastern Avenue, a popular strip for sex workers and a gathering place for transgender women. straddling, they could have used a better word than that, straddling the border between Northeast Washington and Maryland at 6:20 a.m. on March 30th. The police fellers were called to the 5,000 block of Josh Street in Prince George's County, MD, just off of Eastern Avenue to reports of gunfire. Shanti Carmen was 27 that day, a few days ago, really, and had been shot multiple times and was pronounced dead at the scene. The police fellers continue to investigate her death and have not identified any suspects or motives. It's not clear what Ashanti Carmen was doing that night or whether the fatal shootings had anything to do with her identity as a transgender woman. Identity still, that word's still legit, huh?
I think so.
Because I know, I heard Fox Gisele before recent times saying, Fox Gisele would say, woman of trans experience.
Okay.
Right, it flows, yeah. Right? When you say it out loud, it flows. All right, let's move it on forward here. So they're saying they don't know, right? Right. But her death, which took place the day before Transgender Visibility Day, has shaken the transgender community in the D.C. area, becoming the latest symbol of the pervasive dangers faced by transgender women of color, particularly those who turn to sex work for survival. And this is a quote from an individual that goes by the name of Earline Bud. From Earline Bud, who's a who is down with a nonprofit called HIPS.
Oh, okay, they're good people.
Okay, and a quote from Earline Bud: "It doesn't matter that the what the reason was at all. She was a member of our community. This was a young woman, and she lost her life." End quote. Since 2013, at least 128 transgender and gender nonconforming people have been killed in the United States, according to a 2018 report that we know of. And that report was by the Human Rights Campaign Foundation, which, they did that in 2018. Remember, 2012, we was like, fuck them niggas, because they were, like, they were just, like, fuck trans women. They were, they were about that cis. Coming in here, at least 80% were transgender women of color. Nearly 70% were Black trans women. And popping up in the comments section, dancing it back here. This is in the Facebook Live comments section. Jonathan said, "Good cops get promoted to detective, so I imagine some suit and tie or something like that." Yeah. And dancing it on forward here, in 2011, just blocks from the site of Carmen's death, a 23-year-old transgender woman named Lachey McLean was also shot to death. In July 2016, about a mile away from that area, a 22-year-old Dee Dee. They have Dee Dee in quotes. Yeah, I cannot pronounce that one. Yeah, I'm way off. Dee Dee Dodds, also a transgender woman, was fatally shot in the neck during a robbery. Prosecutors said a group of men targeted Dodds and other victims for robbery because they worked as sex workers and had cash. Mm-hmm. They didn't use the same language I did in this article. Last month, a judge declared a mistrial on the murder charges in Dodd's death. And here is a quote, and we're going to wrap this one up. A quote from a local transgender activist, Ruby Corrado, said, "We've had these conversations before. We came together time and time again in these neighborhoods for the same reason. We don't have to die in the streets of this city." End quote. And that's what we do. Yes. That's what we will keep covering. There's Lisa Loco. I gotta remember to I need to set these things up a day in advance so I can make the the Facebook event.
Okay.
And then you can tag friends in it. And I can definitely make sure that Rashani gets tagged and not in that, you know, not being nefarious as I tend to be, just sneaky, sneaky little Russian bot that I am.
Yes.
Oh man, yeah, we're wrapping it up and everybody's coming in. Right. Yeah, there was one more good cop story that I thought was worth covering. You're probably on it.
I have two of them. I don't know which one. One is about immigration detaining a child, and the other one is about prison abusing inmates with wool blankets.
Jesus Christ. The prison.
All right.
And then that'll wrap it up for the socialized free feed. And then the rest of what we record this evening will be going to Patreon only. And also Phoenix Collider's solo swap program. That is available. You search Phoenix Collider or the Phoenix Collider Show in your favorite podcast platform. You'll find it. Subscribe. It is brand ass new.
Yes.
Her Monday episode is up. The Wednesday episode is currently Patreon only for early access, mm-hmm. and then it will go live, but to that feed. Folks, it will not be in this feed, okay? It's right. not going to be in the Wine Cellar podcast feed. It's a separate podcast. You have to subscribe to it separately.
Yes.
All right. Or if you like going to SoundCloud, you can just, I guess, go subscribe to SoundCloud. Mm-hmm. All right. There you go.
All right. So this is... like, I've read the story. It was just, like, so wild. I just wanted to talk about it. So, an inmate with wool allergies moves forward with lawsuit over Texas prison's refusal to give cotton blankets.
Sadist?
Like, on every fucking level. So a federal court this week sided with an inmate who sued the Texas prison system to get a cotton blanket after repeatedly telling officials he was allergic to standard issue bedding, which he alleged is made of recycled waste and caused him to have open bed sores. For 10 years, Calvin Weaver has been asking prison staff for a cotton blanket, but officials refused. So last year, the Harris County man took them to court representing himself from inside the Terrell unit in Rosharon? The prison system responded with a motion to dismiss, but on Friday, District Judge Kenneth Hoyt ruled that the suit can continue. Even though Weaver won't be entitled to money from the defendants in their official capacities, Hoyt wrote that he could get an injunctive relief of a new blanket. These defendants' argument that replacing Weaver's blanket is beyond their power because they are not medical doctors, right, is disingenuous, Hoyt wrote.
I bet they vote for politicians that will be medical doctors about uteruses.
Of course they will. It appears from the complaint that each of these defendants is in a position of authority and could presumably order that Weaver receive another blanket or that he receive a medical evaluation. The problem that sparked with the legal wrangling dates back to 2001, where prison medical staff diagnosed Weaver with a wool allergy, according to court papers. At that time, they gave him a medical pass that allowed him to get a cotton blanket. But then in 2009, the pass wasn't renewed when all blankets system-wide, both standard-issue wool ones and cotton alternatives for allergy sufferers, were replaced with new blankets made from what Weaver described as a blend of recycled waste. Prison officials on Thursday clarified there is no waste in the blankets, which are made by inmates. They make their own fucking blankets. All right. But contain 60% recycled natural fibers and 40% cotton blend. But the non-wool blend allergy made Weaver itch and break out into open sores and lose sleep. For 9 years, Weaver asked for another blanket, complaining repeatedly to officials all the way up to the agency executive director. Just give the nigga a new goddamn blanket! What the fuck? 9 years.
It said 10 years.
Well, now it just said 9.
What the fuck? I heard you say 10 years earlier in the article.
Hold on, let me scroll back up. Oh, you know what? 9 years from the lawsuit, because he filed the lawsuit last year.
Okay.
So, all right. So, yeah. So that was 9 years. Now it's been 10. He still doesn't have it because the lawsuit is still pending.
Imagine, like, that's how ill a sadist is. They will enjoy that for 10 years. They didn't get bored with it. Like, let's move on and fuck with a new toy. Give the fucker his cotton blanket and move on. No. They're like, dude, for some reason, think about 10 years. you know, these people, they're probably breeders.
Yeah.
You know, I casually say that. Fucking, they if they had a unit of offspring that was 11 years old when that fucker, when that prison sentence started, they're now old enough to have a drink with their kid.
Yeah.
10 years, Pat. 10 years. That's, if you go back 10 years from right now to today.
That's longer than Obama was in office.
Yeah, Obama's fucking first term just started. His hair was still black.
Right?
Fuck.
Yeah, I just fucking, in over a blanket.
And just because you wanted to, like, you literally enjoy seeing someone with, basically, like, think about, we don't really talk about sores because we're not medical doctors.
Right.
But I know what the fuck they are.
Right.
Your flesh is open, and it shouldn't be.
Right.
It's just not supposed to.
Right.
You're pretty much supposed to be mostly skin, epidermis everywhere, some fingernails if you need them, if that's your thing.
Yes.
Toenails if you're into that, and an orifice here and there. Other than that, shit ain't supposed to be open.
Right.
Yeah,
I know. For 9 years, he asked for another blanket, complaining repeatedly to officials all the way up to the agency executive director. He filed grievances, noting that he knew of at least 10 to 15 other prisoners at his unit who had gotten cotton blankets. Officials and medical staff ignored his complaints, the federal judge wrote in his recent ruling. So in 2018, Weaver sued, demanding the prison system give him a new blanket, do a toxicology study on the blended fiber blanket, and give him money for pain and suffering. The Texas prison system argued that they shouldn't be the target of a suit because the complaint was medical, so they couldn't provide the requested relief.
Don't they have an infirmary?
Yes. They have doctors and nurses on staff. But also, just give him a new fucking blanket. Jesus fucking Christ.
And this is why, like, I can get down with my leftist and my progressive folks and all that, but I don't actually have faith in this McMurica shit.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Not at all. You know, I see it like, you know, the old feller, very not young, claims to still have endurance, Bernie Sanders. He has faith in this America thing. You know, look back in time. Martin Luther King had faith in this America shit, saying, we're just asking you to live up to you. White people lie, nigga.
Yeah.
They lie. They invented thumb screws on purpose.
They did.
Think about it. Ingenuity, raw materials to make shit. Let's make torture devices.
Yeah.
And then going back to, I haven't told this story in a long time and I forgot the individual's name. Mm-hmm. But out in there in Italy, this is many, many moons ago. Mm-hmm. All right. It's fucking centuries ago. And the daughter of a painter got raped by one of his friends. Mm-hmm. And when they had her in court, the way they find out if she was telling the truth was they put the thumb screws on her. And if she stuck to the story, then they would say, yeah, she's telling the truth. These are the people of whom you want to have faith in. You realize Americans that are white are just Europeans that are over here. They're just not at home is all.
Yeah.
Same folks.
Yeah. Did I tell you about the origin of the Beauty and the Beast thing, speaking of Europeans doing fucked up shit?
It said origin of the Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
Like, the whole Disney joint.
Yeah, well, yeah, the origin of that, like, that fairy tale.
Yeah, what is
it? One of those Italian families that was, like, a ruling family. They set a woman up to marry, like, you know, people have that, like, the hair condition where they look like werewolves?
Ah, fuck, I don't know the name of it.
But you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, so this guy had it and basically was, like, sold as a pet to the court. And then they found out he could, like, read. And they were like, that's kind of cool. He's smart. He acts like us. He acts like a person. And so this one woman who was, like, the daughter of, like, one of the court officials was looking for a husband. And they're like, hey, we have a guy, but you can't meet him until your wedding day. Because they just wanted to see how she was going to react, knowing that she had to marry him. And then they had kids, and all the kids that had it got literally sold as pets to other royal families across Europe.
This is, like, white people all over the planet, they come from, that's what they did on their continent.
To each other.
So for those of you, I'm sure they're not tuned into this program, but if you follow Richard Spencer, do you really want a white ethno state where you just have to, you're just under the alphas and their ideas again?
Yep.
You want the dark ages again, buddy?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah. Go back to Europe and have your fucking ethno state. Shit. We just want to set up cameras. That will be
the best reality show ever.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Just white on white crime for the next 500 years.
Yes.
Baby.
All right. So let me finish this real quick.
Yeah.
All right. So the judge took a dim view of the claim that they couldn't provide relief because the target of the suit was medical. Though the court removed two of the defendants, a warden and a doctor, from the case, the judge decided that he could continue his suit against the agency executive director and two employees who allegedly ignored his requests. He's not eligible for compensation from the defendants in their official capacities, but could get money damages from them in their individual capacities. Weaver, who has since been moved to the PAC unit, does not have an attorney, and the Texas Department of Criminal Justice did not offer comments on the case. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, 10 fucking years, they made him stay with a blanket that was giving him sores, and he had an allergy to, because, fuck you, you're in prison, and you're property of the state, and the state is sadistic, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Good cops. And, yeah, as far as I'm concerned, fucking immigration, fucking prison guards, all them niggas is cops. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. All right, I tell you, man. So y'all white people like... y'all, they're white niggas that kick it with us as far as the social media. Stay kicking with it, us. When those other, when they make their white ethno state fucking hide...
Yeah, don't go.
Hide.
Yeah.
Stay behind. We'll stay over here. We'll eat some fucking strawberries, have some cheesecake. Mm-hmm. And watch them from afar.
Very far.
All right. And that'll be that for the socialized feed. Patreon subscribers. The rest of this is on you. We're going to do a little dabby-doo, mix up some stuff, have a good old grandass dadgum time. All right. Facebook Live, you got to get on from around here. Come on now. All right. And then YouTube.
Yes.
Ain't no YouTube.
Ain't no YouTube.
Hell no. Maybe that stops right there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And podcast audio. You hang in there with us, buddy.